Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. We're looking this evening, like Daddy has just said, at the power of sacrifice. The power of sacrifice. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. He says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The Lord bless the reading of his words tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amazing. When Daddy talked about this to me, I went like, and he said, but it was sacrifice for them to be in the upper room when there was a feast. And I said, in my mind, I haven't come across the fact that there was a feast at that time. And so I started ransacking the Bible to check in this Acts chapter 1. I went to Acts chapter 1, read the whole of Acts chapter 1, the whole of Acts chapter 2, going to chapter 3 to see where there is a mention that there was a feast. And well, I didn't see it, and I said, fine, when I come up, I'll tell them that Daddy said there was a feast. And so I decided not to be distracted by what I thought I was searching for, and go ahead and say, Holy Ghost, let me have what you have for your people tonight. And as I started off, I came across something that blew my mind. Now, beloved, I discovered in Acts chapter 2, in that place, I was shocked to my bones. I discovered that the day of Pentecost. Now, listen to this. Let's read it together. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And I wondered, why do you say when the day of Pentecost was fully come? Now, I know that Jesus had told them that the Holy Ghost will come after he has been carried up, but he didn't call it Pentecost. He didn't name it Pentecost. And so I started to investigate, and I discovered that the day of Pentecost was actually a feast in Israel. It was one of the three feasts that were celebrated in Israel. And the word Pentecost, which I had always thought meant something about speaking in the Holy Ghost, or speaking in tongues, or something about us being Pentecostals, I realized it actually meant the fifth feast of the 50th day. It was 50 days after the Passover feast. And what was the significance of this feast of Pentecost? It was the feast to celebrate and acknowledge the ingathering of harvest. It was a feast that the children of Israel celebrated 50 days after the feast of Pentecost, of Passover, to celebrate and to acknowledge the harvest, the ingathering. It was the 50th day, and it was the second of the three feasts, and they celebrated on the seventh week, in the seventh week after the Passover, the successful completion of harvest. They would gather, and they would be grateful, recognizing that God had helped them to farm and successfully sow their seeds and successfully gone out and harvested the seeds and their harvest and brought them into the barns, and it was a time of great celebration. There was a lot of eating. There was a lot of feasting. And you see, if you know the Jewish tradition well, if you've been to Israel, they don't joke with their feast days, their feast ceremony. There will be national holiday. You don't do nothing. You don't do anything. They would have even prepared their food down before you take it. Daddy and I were in Israel one time, and we got to the lift in the hotel where we were staying, one of these hotels with many floors. And the person with us said, "Oh no, don't use that lift and the other one. Don't use those three. Now only this one is working." "And why?" Said, "Those lifts." The lifts were not going to work during that season because it was a feast season. It was a Sabbath feast there was a Sabbath. It was a pre-Sabbath. So the feast, the lifts are configured such that you enter. It will be stopping on every floor. You are not to press the button. You are not to do anything. So when you get to the floor, yeah, you are going, you look at the sign and you walk out. You don't, once, it, that was how seriously they took their feast. And yet, some gentlemen and women gathered themselves together. When other people were whining and dining, when they were celebrating the feast of the harvest that they had harvested, they did not care. They did not have a harvest to harvest in that season because they had been involved with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they were gathered in the upper room for the number of days between when Jesus was taken up and when the feast day fully came. That is what I call sacrifice. They sacrificed their time. They sacrificed even their harvest. They sacrificed their sleep. They sacrificed their comfort. They left their houses. The Bible says they were in one room. I don't know the size of the room. Bible theologians, I tried to search, have no record of the size of that room in the upper room. But I know that there were at least 120 people because of what the Bible says in the later verses and chapters of this same Acts of Apostles. And there they were. Maybe some people stood up all night. Maybe they just had enough space to sit. Maybe they couldn't lie down as they could. Or maybe they took shifts to lie down. Or whatever it was. But they were there praying. They were there fasting. Other people were whining. Other people were dining. Other people were gathering in their harvest. And they were gathered together in God's presence. We have seen that pre-Pentecost, there was a need for desperation. We saw that pre-Pentecost, there was a need for prayer, intensity of prayer. And we see tonight that pre-Pentecost, there is a need for sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Sacrifice, you might want to define it as the act, number one, of giving up something that is valuable in order to get something that is more valuable or more worthy. Something that is of greater worth. You sacrifice something that is valuable with the hope and with the expectation and for the sake of you getting something that is of greater worth. Something that is of greater worth. The Bible says with me, let's open the Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Genesis 8, 22. Popular passage, we all know it. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And so, the disciples enjoyed an abundance of harvest because there was first of all a sacrifice. And like scripture says, without a doubt, seed time and harvest will always follow each other. Seed time will follow. We follow a new harvest, but for a harvest to come, there had to have been seed time. First and foremost, there had to be a sacrifice that left your life, left your hand, left your mind, left your practice for there to be a harvest. Tonight, I want to announce to you that this conference that is tied to Beyond Pentecost will give to you harvest beyond your imagination. I don't think you understand what I'm talking about. When we have an understanding of what we're talking about, anytime we act, we step into the reality of Pentecost, we step into the reality of speaking in tongues and Pentecostal manifestation, you should also be in expectation for harvest of anything that you sow. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Enough of dwelling in poverty, because we do not know that Pentecost is intricately associated with harvest. Tonight, I'm here to announce to somebody that the last time you sowed your seed, the last time you gave a sacrifice, and you didn't get a commensurate harvest, it is the last time forever. I said it is the last time forever. If there is a believer in the house, you shout a loud amen. And so, we were defining sacrifice, or we were trying to explain it. Under number 1A, we see there that one of the greatest sacrifices that was ever done in humanity and for humanity was the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross of Calvary. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 verse 16, I'm sure every one of you know that passage off head by heart, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The promise of everlasting life is an offshoot of a sacrifice by God himself. Also, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Somebody shout, glory. What a privilege to be able to live by God, to be able to live through the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God. Number 1B, sacrifice. Seeing what is sacrifice, we see also there that sacrifice, the way it costs God, sacrifice must be costly. It is not sacrifice if it costs you nothing. David said in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24, "Neither will I offer." Okay, I wanted to paraphrase. So it says, 2 Samuel 24, 24, and then the king said unto Arauna, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings, and I call sacrifice unto the Lord my God of that which doth not cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. If the Bible is yours, I'd like you to understand, underline that portion. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, my God, of that which does not cost me anything. So, number one, sacrifice must be costly. It must cost you something. David said, "I won't give to God what does not cost me. I will not give to God carelessly, absent-mindedly." It must cost you something, and God sees it as sacrifice. Number two, sacrifice is what you give at the time of great desperation. Sacrifice is what you give at the time of great desperation. At a time when you are at your wit's end. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and in verse 5 all the way to 10, when Saul was looking for his father's missing donkeys, they had come to their wit's end, and the servant had advised Saul, he said, "Let us go back before your father stops worrying about the donkeys and begins to worry about you. We have been away for too long." And they went on further and got to a point where they were ready to see a man of God. And he said, "There's an honorable man here. But what is it? How can I come without anything?" And it was in that state of desperation, Saul offered unto God. In the last time I had the privilege of standing on this altar to minister, we talked about desperation. And we looked at the king of Moab. The king of Moab came to a point where in desperation, he gave his all. He gave what cost him something. He gave out of desperation. Beloved, when there is an issue confronting you, or when you want to shift levels in life, in ministry, in destiny, in relationship, what you do is to rise up and do what you haven't done before. Give God a sacrifice that you yourself felt you did. Do something for God that is beyond the ordinary. We are talking about sacrifice and its power. Today, the power of sacrifice shall work in somebody's life in the name of Jesus. Number three, what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is something that you do consistently. Now, I know that we're saying you do it sometimes when there's an issue, when there's a desperate issue, but then you need to live a consistent life as a sacrificer. It's not something that you struggle with. Now, I cannot say paying of tithes, paying your tithes, returning God's portion that is inside your money back to God is a sacrifice. But then it is a giving and it must be done consistently. Every time you miss your sacrifice, your tithe, you go back to square one. The ones you did before becomes nullified. It's like you press a delete button, bam. And all the work you did before, bah, is gone. Have you ever been typing? You are typing something. And I don't know, maybe somebody entered the room or something. Mistakenly, you have typed enough text. The content of what you've typed is sufficient. And you are not saving as you are typing. Then suddenly you press delete, bam. Hey! You can imagine how that feels for a little thing such as typing something. Even on your phone, you are typing. Sometimes iPhone can act up when it's time to update iOS. You are typing, the thing will just blank. You mean all this English I typed has gone? Just goes blank. Now, what more of such a thing as your tithes? It was an unnegotiable requirement of the children of Israel. And it is still their practice till tomorrow. And so you see an Israelite in today, in this today, and they stand out anywhere. One of the things that I can't help but stare. Sometimes that you say, stop staring. If I am in the airport, and they like to move together. Have you ever noticed? If you see these Jews without their phylactery, without their cap and their long suit, they will always move in droves. I don't know where they always travel to together. I'm not sure I've seen a Jew alone. You see them, they stand out. They don't sit in ordinary cabin. They are in business class, first class. They are not ordinary. Why? Because there's something they have refused to break the consistency. If your life, and this is not 1 year, not 2 years, thousands of years, from their forefathers, from their ancestors, the day Jacob said, I will give you back, oh God, 10% of anything you gave to me. From that day, that tribe was established in a prosperity that cannot be contested. Somebody's life and destiny is about to be transformed, about to be translated, about to be changed after this conference. If you are a believer, shout aloud, amen. A pastor met me and he came and he said him and his wife they were in a strait. They don't know what is happening to their finances. And I said I should pray for them. And I said, do you pay your tithe? And he said, yes. I said, well, that is what I heard, that's what I received. But he said yes. I said, no challenge. Maybe I'm not Prophet Samuel, so maybe a word fell to the ground. But check. And ensure that you are consistent in your tithing. 2 months later, in October, he sent a text. He said when he was praying this morning, that because he had told the wife, look, let's set ourselves, that when he was praying this morning, God told him that they pay every other tithe, but they don't tithe the money that comes for their project. If somebody comes and says, this is money for projects, for building, they don't tithe it. So all these years, they have been building one building and it has taken forever. So he said they have prayed and asked God for forgiveness. I said, praise the Lord. Thank God for the word that came your way. And thank God you have remembered. Your heavens are open. So I told Daddy, and I think they talked, and Daddy gave him a mantle or something like that. And do you know what happened? It wasn't 2 weeks. He said everything has turned around. The building that was stagnated, they've almost completed. In 2 weeks, we are the ones struggling our lives for ourselves. Anyway, I have not been asked to preach on tithe. So let's go on to sacrifice. Number 3. Praise the Lord. No, I'm serious. Because you can sacrifice you can sacrifice yourself, sir. And you are not paying your tithe. It won't make any difference. Oh, yes, you will see a result. You might see an instant result. Something happens. But how do you sustain that breakthrough that comes as a result of the sacrifice? How do you sustain it? Don't make God look like he's not truthful. God is true. God is real. These principles are real. You can be in this current economic situation and not know that anything is happening. I declare that shall be your portion. That shall be your story. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Number four, there are 4 points on what is sacrifice, and there are 4 points on how do you sacrifice. How do you do a sacrifice? Or how do you engage your life in sacrifice? And so, number four, what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is an expression of love. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. And he walked in the status of David, his father. And he sacrificed. The proof of his love was that he sacrificed. You cannot love without sacrifice. A mother gives birth to a baby. The love she has for that baby makes her to sacrifice her sleep. It makes her to sacrifice her convenience, her comfort, to ensure the well-being of the baby. Your love for God cannot be truly expressed without a life of sacrifice. Consistent sacrifice. You see your father, our father in the Lord, Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche, his second name is sacrifice. As he loves God, that is how his life consists of sacrifice. You cannot truly claim that you love God and not be completely sacrificial. So, let's move on. How do you make a meaningful sacrifice? Number one, you must be spiritually sensitive. We should read Anna's story, but I'll just tell you the story. I'm sure you are all aware of Anna. You are well aware of Anna. Anna kept on going to God's presence. And Anna noticed that the priesthood had been desecrated. And God did not have a priesthood during the days of Eli. Eli had successfully existed as a priest, but his children did not take after his ways. They did all manner of evil, and the house of the Lord was being desecrated, and there was so much evil going on. And she was sensitive enough in the spirit to know that God needed a priest. She was sensitive enough to know that God needed a priest. And this was Anna who needed a child. So she decided to tie her desperate need for a child to a sacrifice for God. It was a win-win situation. It was as if to say, God, give me a child. You need a priest. Give me a child and I will give you a priest. And in keeping with that sacrifice, Anna didn't just deliver the child carelessly. Because instantly, God answered her prayers after many years. And when she delivered the child, she said to her husband, Elkanah, hold on, I will not come with you to the yearly sacrifice as usual. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to groom this child. And prepare him to be a priest, which is what I promised. I didn't promise to give him a child. He is the one giving me a child. I am giving him a priest. And Anna settled down, and the Bible says when the child was weaned, in the Hebrew culture, and up till today, some Middle Eastern countries, they can breastfeed a child till 3 years, 4 years, even 5 years. We don't know how old he really was when she brought him. And thereafter, the Bible tells us, every year, yearly, she will make him a coat, a teaching, a garment, a covering for that year and bring to him. She monitored his growth and monitored his spirituality and ensured that she wasn't giving God a lame sacrifice. She wasn't giving God a sacrifice that was retired. There are people that give sacrifice. I sacrifice my car. Meanwhile, it was towing van that brought it to where they sacrificed it. We value your sacrifice, but that kind of sacrifice is better you sell it and then you drop the money that it amounted to. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Anna took her time to prepare her offering, her sacrifice, and then she brought it to the Lord. Today, the Bible, the story of the Bible, the story of Israel cannot be completely told without that priest that she gave to the Lord. His name was Prophet Samuel. Oh yes, I say it all the time. Every time there was a king to be coronated, Samuel had to be available. Every time a priest needed to be appointed, Samuel had to be on ground. Every time a prophet needed to be anointed, Samuel had to be on ground. What they call the school of the prophets was instituted by the offspring of Samuel. Today, your sacrifice will speak for time. Your sacrifice shall leave a mark on the sands of time. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Number two, how do you make a meaningful sacrifice? You ensure that when you make a vow, you keep the vow. You ensure that when you make a vow, you keep the vow. We read, Daddy just told us now about the woman in Otukpo, what she vowed. She didn't even have it. She gave what she had. Out of the 5,000 she had, she vowed. She gave 2,000. And then she saw an alert. And the name of the depositor was, from the bank of heaven. The bank of heaven is about to speak for somebody. You are not saying that amen as if you are a believer. She kept her vow and the bank of heaven opened for her. Remember Jephthah? Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and God answered for him. Anna kept her vow. And what happened to Anna? God gave her 5 other children. God is about to honor your sacrifice today. Number 3, sacrifice in the act of thanksgiving. In the act of thanksgiving. Every time God blesses you, God does something spectacular for you. God does something that eyes cannot even imagine, ears cannot imagine. What do? You give a sacrifice to God just to say thank you. You are not making a request. You are not saying, oh God, bless me. Give me husband. Give me child. Give me a new job. No, you just want to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you. Oh, you delivered me from this situation. Thank you. I cannot tell how many times my husband and I have made all manner of thanksgiving offerings. Thanksgiving, massive drop. Bah! Just to say thank you. No prayer request attached. God is about to give you what to thank God about in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12, 13, and 14. 12, 13, and 14 tells us about David. David successfully brought the ark of God back into the city of David from the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And what does the Bible say? As he did that, at every step, he would stop and thank the Lord. At every step, he says, and it was that when they which bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling. Move on. 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Every time God has done something spectacular for you, you give him a sacrifice. Every time you see Daddy dancing and his leg is moving like scissors, it's not an empty dance. It's not empty. There is also a physical cash sacrifice that is going to be laid down that day. I'm telling you something. One man gave a testimony on a Tuesday. He said, every time he comes to church and he sees that this offering envelope lifted, he will tell God, Lord, I want to shift to the level where I can give you an offering that looks like this. Within 2 weeks of his prayer, his life, his whole life changed. He said he cannot bring his tithe to church normal. He has to write it in check. You see, beloved, very soon, even the offering you are giving, you cannot bring it as cash again. Your tithe cannot be, because how many bullion vans will you use to bring the cash to church? God is changed. No, somebody didn't get that. Any banker in the house, an average bullion van carries how many millions? How many billions? You will soon be paying your tithes in billions of naira. In millions of naira. If there's a believer in the house, shout, yes, Lord. And finally, obedience. How do you make a sacrifice that God will accept and be pleased with it? It's obedience. You remember we talked about Anna. She made a vow. She was sensitive to God's leading. And then she made a vow. And then what happened? She was obedient to the leading. That she was obedient to the leading of God and to the instruction of God. Remember David. Let's read that. David in 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel 24 verse 19. 2 Samuel 24, 19. And David, according to the saying of Gath, remember Gath, the seer, the prophet that Daddy told us about in the morning? And he went up as the Lord had commanded. Go on. And Arauna looked and saw the king and his servants coming on towards him. And Arauna went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. We already read the remaining where he said, I need this your field for sacrifice. I have a leading. God instructed me to give a sacrifice on this field. And Arauna said, I will give it to you, my king. Imagine the whole king came to ask for something. Take it, take it. And David said, I will never give God what didn't cost me something. When I give a sacrifice, I want to feel that I gave a sacrifice. I was praying for a young man and his wife. They sowed a seed of 1 million the other day, and they brought it. And as I was praying for them, I said, "Oh, they talked of how they had trusted God to be able to give 1 million before 2016 ends." And I said to them, "You know, as I'm praying for you, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ." That very soon, if you give 1 million, you will ask yourself, but this is not a sacrifice. Why are you mocking yourself? They shouted amen. I said, no, I'm serious. Oh, somebody's staring at me. Very soon, when you drop 1 million, it won't be a sacrifice. You're not saying that amen as if you're a believer. When you drop 1 million, it won't be a sacrifice. It will be the same as when you are dropping 10,000 naira as offering. When you are dropping 50,000 naira as offering, I declare it is so in the name of Jesus. Please take your seat. Absolute obedience. David said, I won't give God anything that doesn't cost me something. If every one of you, miracles, signs, wonders are taking place in the churches where you are, no false anybody, false prophet or anybody will have any market. Let me put it in quotes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let's come out. And let's say, Father, I want to resemble you small. You gave your all. I want to give my all. My life is donated to you. I give myself to you. Until we do that, then God will shift us. And then finally, because I've done my number four, never give a sacrifice absent-mindedly. Even your free will offering, don't give it absent-mindedly. Give it an assignment. And when you know that this offering I'm giving is going on an assignment, you will not give some retired 50 naira or 100 naira notes or some retired notes inside an envelope and say you're giving to God. No. You will organize your life so that your harvest will come the way it should come. I want you to know something here today. God is about to change your life and your destiny. You are not saying that amen as if you are a believer. You are not saying that amen as if you are a believer. I stand here to declare that by this time next year, your story will be so different. Your elevation will be so massive. Your promotion will be so gigantic. The world will look at you and wonder what happened to you. And you will tell them, Jesus happened to me. If there's a believer in the house, shout, yes, Lord.